Good evening. It's good to be back again with you this evening to share in the gospel. And you must just excuse me, I have to take the blazer off, the jacket off. For 23 years, I preached and never wore a jacket in South Africa. You can imagine the heat there. And so when I came back to this country again, I felt like I was in a straitjacket when I tried to preach. And so I just take it off. My wife says, don't even know why you have a suit. It's pointless for me, but I trust as we come to God's Word, He'll allow the Spirit of God to speak to you this evening. And I like it when I come to a church and nobody ever tells me what's the time to finish at. I love a church like that, you know. I know they put a clock up there, but I can take my glasses off, and that means nothing. And my daughter this morning, Rachel, asked me, says, why were you so short? She said, I was short this morning. I says, no, it's just in a new place. But I'm back tonight. This is the second time, so it's not new anymore. So we can get stuck into God's Word this evening. And tonight, I want to simply look at the statement of judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And I want us tonight to look at the life of one Old Testament saint. He's referred to in three portions of Scripture. We're going to read them just now at the beginning and at the end of our Bible. Genesis chapter 5, and then we go over to Hebrews and the book of Jude. We want to look here at simply a man who stood out from the crowd and a man that was different, and his name is Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. The Word of God reads, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then just if you turn over to the book of Hebrews, there towards the end of our Bible, and we'll see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and just two little verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and verse 6, we find that Enoch is mentioned in this great chapter or hall of faith. Verse 5 reads, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then just to skip over a few more pages to the book of Jude, that little epistle just before the book of Revelation. And again, two more little verses we find in Jude 14 and 15 where Enoch is referred to once more. Jude in verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word tonight. If you just ponder just for one second here while we're in Jude. Jude here mentions about Enoch, and refers to an occasion where God is coming back and where God is going to bring judgment upon all the ungodly. Now, we're going to come back to that a little bit later, but we want to note here tonight that judgment is coming. We want to look and consider about this man, Enoch, and why did he preach and proclaim such a message that judgment is coming. Well, I believe we have to go back to his own beginning, back there to Genesis chapter 5. And I want you to note in Genesis chapter 5, when we read the account here where Enoch is mentioned just in four little verses here in Genesis chapter 5, you will find that he was born, first of all, in tough times. He was born in difficult and hard times. The Word of God makes a clear statement in this chapter 5. If you go home and read it later, you'll find it is there, the listings of when the man was born, who he begot, the sons and the number of years before the birth and after the birth, and there's some tongue twisters in there, and the number of years. And then there's a little phrase that's repeated 8 times. And that little phrase is, "And he died." And he died. And he died. And you can go right down that chapter and you'll find it is there. And why we ask the question is, why is it recorded? And he died, and he died, and he died. Now we know for a moment here, Enoch is different to the rest of them here. Oh, because Enoch, according to the scriptures, did not die. But for all the rest of the people that were alive, they lived, they married, they brought forth children. And the Bible says they died. We ask the question, why do people die? Well, the Word of God is simply very clear on that. It is because that sin has come into this world. Man's sin, sin entered, and then death has come as a result. I want you to note here when we consider Enoch this evening. He was born into difficult or tough times. He was born in a time when sin was evident. It was evident because there was death listed right throughout this chapter that he is referred to. Yet we're going to note here just that with Enoch there was a contrast. 2 things that stand out, Enoch different from all the rest. The Word of God tells us that Enoch did not die. It says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Stands out different because he didn't die. And then secondly, you'll find the age that he lived. He lived there only 365 years. Can you imagine that? Only 365 years. But that is less than half of all the others that have gone before. Something has made this man different. He stands out all different from all the rest. I want us to consider again just these times that he was born in. Now I know that people say the times that we live in are difficult. The times that we live in are more challenging in one way than they were maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. But I want to tell you, Enoch was born into difficult and tough times. Sin was rampant because sin was bringing forth death, as recorded in Genesis chapter 5. But if you even go forward there to chapter 6, you'll find that Enoch there, just in the years running up before Noah, we find that the day and age was very evil. Very similar, I believe, to the day and age that we are alive today. Very similar to our own times. You could say that Enoch lived in tough times, just like us. Look there at chapter 6 and those opening verses of that chapter. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born upon them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took their wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. For he that is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in on to the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Oh, can you see this? It's just running parallel to the times that Enoch lived in, when all around him people were dying. And we see quite clearly all around him there is evil manifested in many ways. John Phillips, in his book teaching on this aspect, he gives a number of wonderful titles given to this age here as described in Genesis 6. He calls it firstly a demonic age. A demonic age, an evil where there is great evil and deceit all around. And as you look down here, he talks here about the sons of God. And that's simply a reference, I believe, as you look at the scriptures, to fallen angels. And the angels here came down, and they changed themselves in certain ways, that they took upon them wives from the earth. They took upon them females. And from them were born great men of renown, giants. If you study history and you look back, you'll find every culture and every society talks about giants and ogres and all these great things. I believe they come from the fact that there was a demonic age. Oh, when these fallen angels had come down, they'd left their first estate. You go read the book of Jude this evening, the rest of the verses round about it, you'll find the certain angels that God punished and took aside, and he has them placed in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. Why? Because there was an overstepping of the mark. There was demonic activity. And friend, I don't want to frighten you tonight, but we live in an age where Satanism, occult, demonic activity is on its rise. And it may not just even be in the form of seeing lives ruined because of what happens through demon possession and all other things like that. But we see in a day and age, sadly to say, the doctrines of the devil is being taught all around. Oh, see how Paul would warn Timothy. And the day and age it was there, demonic, a sad, sick society. And that was the day and age that this man Enoch was born into. Not only was it demonic, but I've said already, it was depraved. The Bible says there it was a wicked society. A wicked, in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of the man. Oh, that word wicked, it's a horrible word. It means, again, ultimately depraved and bent. One that carries the most evil thoughts possible. A man would turn away from God. Well, friends, look around our society. Look at our own country. And men and women are turning away from God. All around, there's more and more depravity in front of our faces. In a so-called Christian country, there is evil everywhere you look. Can you see how we're similar to the times of Enoch? Difficult times. Yes, he was born there, just like our day and age. It was a time even when there was a dynamic society. If you were go back to chapter 4, you'll find there the descendants of Cain are listed. And as they would go down their generations as well, oh, you'll find it was an age of technological advancement, an age of rise in the music, an age in a time whenever there was great advancements, and even the bronze making and different aspects of that. And we live in an age of technology today. Think about it for a moment. Most of you have a mobile phone. My daughter asked me the other day, "What happened, Dad, when you were grounded and you lost your mobile phone?" I says, "I was grounded every day. I never had one." Could you imagine the technology, the changes? It's the exact same here. Advancements in music, advancements in the metalwork. And the times that Enoch lived in, oh, I believe they're very similar to our times. Difficult and hard times. Oh, you'll find as you go down in chapter 4 and verse 24, there was a man, a descendant of Cain, and his name was Lamech. It shows again how dangerous society was. But he talks about boasting. He says, Cain may have killed others, but I have killed even more. We live in a society where life is cheap. We live in a society just like this time, where all around a man who will kill, a man will even boast about it. And we can see that in many different forms, from the death even of innocent within the womb, right through to murder that is a result of drugs and drink and many other things. The dangerous, the deprived, the demonic, the dynamic society. And ultimately, friend, it was a deluded society. Because what you'll find about these times that they were born in, where Enoch was born in, oh, dangerous and difficult times. There was death all around. The Word of God tells us in Matthew's Gospel that during these times that Enoch lived, in the years just before Noah came, in the years just before there was the flood, you'll find that the Word of God in Matthew 24, 38 and 39 tells us, "For as in the days that were before the flood," that includes Enoch, That's his difficult times. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, friends, in the days of Enoch and Noah, people were just going around their everyday business. People were getting up, going to work. People were coming home. People were going to the shops. People were arranging for marriages. For if it had been Christmas around there, they'd have been arranging it for Easter or for their summer holidays. Whatever it was, so many thousand years ago, they were doing it. Going around that every day. And it's sad to say, people are going around today with the same sad attitude towards God. But what was the message that Enoch preached according to the Epistle of Jude? He says, judgment is coming. And it was sad that in a day and age that he lived in, a difficult age, that there was only two of them that chose to live otherwise. But you see, sad to say, in that day and age, people were accepting sin as normal. Sin had been watered down. But yet people were still dying. People were going on. And you see, quite simply here, he was born into tough times. Well, praise God, it didn't stop Enoch. Praise God that Enoch was different to all of this. If you look back at Genesis 5 and 22, we find the great statement there that Enoch walked with God. He wasn't just born into tough times, but he walked a true testimony. The Word of God tells us that he walked this true testimony. It says he walked with God. I love that little phrase. Enoch walked with God. Thereafter he had begot Methuselah. Oh, the Bible's very clear. Tells us here that there was only two men in this day and age who walked with God. Enoch, who walked with God and was not. And Noah, who walked with God, and God says, go build an ark. And as you consider this, only this man, Enoch, and he had a wonderful testimony. Stood out. He walked with God. Can you think for a moment, would it not be good just to listen to a man who the Bible says walked with God? Also, you think about this man, he's one of only two men who were taken straight to heaven without going through death. Surely we should listen to someone like that. And also, he's one of only two men who it's written in the scriptures that it pleased God. The other one was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is this not my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? God the Father spoke. And you can see tonight, surely we could learn from such a man. He walked with God. He went straight to heaven. And he pleased God tonight. Oh, what can we learn about him? Well, let's just pause and think about this phrase, what we see in verse 22. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God, according to the scriptures, 300 years after the birth of his son. What does that little phrase mean to you and I tonight? What does it mean to walk with God? He walked this wonderful testimony. Well, the prophet Amos, in chapter 3 and verse 3, he tells us this, can two walk together except they be agreed? Get that? Can two walk together except they be agreed? And then come back to what the Bible says in Genesis 5. Enoch walked with God. You know that little phrase that we read over and pass over so easily? We just have to pause and think about it for a moment. What does this mean? Enoch had to be in agreement with God. Because it could not be said of him that he could walk with God except they be agreed. And if Enoch agreed with God, oh, I tell you tonight, he had to be in agreement with God over his own sin. And he had to be in agreement with God over God who's holy and just and righteous, who cannot look upon sin. And he had to be in agreement with God that there had to be a remedy for his sin. And he had to be in agreement here with God that he could not provide that remedy. Oh, you'll find that to simply say he was in walking with God, he had to agree with God. Realized he couldn't do it himself. Even Noah, that older man who walked with God in the same time period. How did Noah be saved out of the judgment that was coming? Chapter 6 and verse 8 tells us, here it is, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, can you see tonight, to say that Enoch or Noah, they walked with God, it means and first implies that they had to be reconciled to a holy God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And Enoch would have to be in agreement with a holy God that his sin would have to be dealt with, but realizing he couldn't do it himself, he needed to experience grace in his life. Just like Noah, what's said of Noah in these verses. Oh, you see, Noah and Enoch, these men of God who walked with God, in their lives as they looked at this, and the great statement is said that they walked with God. They were brought into reconciliation with a holy God because of the grace of God. Nothing that they could do in themselves would ever please an almighty holy God. They had to resign to this fact. And what was it that brought this change? Well, go with me to Hebrews. And here you'll find in the book of Hebrews this great statement that we read earlier in Hebrews 11. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? It implies that there had to be a reconciliation. There had to be even a resignation of Enoch and Noah to say, Lord, we can't do it in ourselves. And there had to be, I believe, a reality tonight. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith Enoch, when he was translated, that he should see not see death, was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, friend, tonight, are you walking with God? You say, how can I walk with God? Well, first, you have to please God. See what the Bible says in Hebrews. He had this testimony. He pleased God. Oh, how can two walk together except they be agreed? He had to come into an agreement. Realized he couldn't do it himself. It was by grace, like Noah would find out. But also, he pleased God. How did he please God? See what the verse says there in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oh, friend, are you walking with God? Are you pleasing God? You cannot do it unless you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Word of God tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us quite clearly, just like Enoch knew, oh, there's a holy God, and he was far short. He was just like everybody else in his day age who was living and marrying and having children and dying, except there came this time where somewhere along the line, Enoch put his faith and trust in Almighty God. He looked forward to the Messiah that was to come. Faith is simply how we respond to God through his word. He asked that question tonight. Is it easy to please God? The answer is yes and no. The answer is yes and no. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Oh, friend, it's very easy. It just means you have to surrender your life. It just means, like Enoch, you say, oh, I'm going to walk with God because I agree with God's standards. I agree with the Word of God. I agree that he's holy. I agree that there's no way myself. All my good works is like filthy rags. I can never walk with God by myself. It takes someone else to come in. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in the cross of Calvary. Friend, it's very easy. But in the same breath, it's very difficult. Because that's going to knock on to your pride, onto your self-will, onto your self-righteousness. And God forbid tonight there's people like there was in the times before the building of the ark. And what were they doing? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And they knew not that judgment was coming. Oh, friend, tonight we have to walk with God. We have to please God. I want you to see this man, Enoch. We know very little about him. But I can tell you this. He wasn't a great leader like Moses. He wasn't a king like David. He wasn't a gifted preacher and teacher like the Apostle Paul. He was just an ordinary man who chose to walk with God. Oh, friend, could that be you tonight? You could really walk with God. You would say, oh, Pastor, this is difficult times. You don't understand the challenges I face. Enoch was born in difficult times. Enoch walked a beautiful testimony. And then go with me there to Jude. And you'll see that Enoch preached a terrifying message. In Jude 14, you'll find where this record is given of what Jude recorded. It's wonderful in one breath and yet frightening in the next breath. In Jude 14, we're told that Enoch, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. If he's coming back with his saints, how did the saints get up there? Well, that's an older time and an older place. But I believe what the next thing is to happen in God's prophetic calendar is that God is going to call his bride home. And those saints are going to come back with him. And you're going to see, because when the Lord Jesus came to this earth at his first coming, he came to deal with sin. The Lord Jesus came to deal with sin. Here it says he's coming to deal not with sin here, but with sinners. He's coming to deal with sinners. You see, when he came the first time, the Lord Jesus went all the way. He set his face to go to the cross of Calvary. He willingly gave up his life. He surrendered. He took our place. He paid the price for our sin. So that there he would provide a means of salvation. The great exchange made possible in the cross of Calvary. He took your sin so that you and I could have his righteousness. And that's what he did at his first coming. But I want you to note the message of Jude that tells us what Enoch was preaching. He is preaching a terrible message, but he says, God is also coming back the second time. And he's coming back the second time, not to take away sin, but to judge sinners. See how that verse 15 says, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all the ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which the ungodly have committed, the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, can you see the distinction and the difference of these first and the second coming of Christ? Oh, the Lord came and he judged and dealt with the sin issue that had brought death in the time of Enoch. Right from the Garden of Eden, right through. He came, he dealt with it on the cross of Calvary. But here, he's coming. I'm mentioning he's coming in judgment. Coming in judgment. I want you to pause and consider this. When did Enoch start preaching such a message? Well, if you go back to Genesis 5 and 22, it's when he started to walk with God. And when did he walk with God? It was at the birth of his son Methuselah. Now, that's quite a lovely name to give any child. Can imagine you giving names to your different children. There's always great debate in families about, is it a boy, is it a girl, and what you're going to call him. Well, Methuselah was the name of his son. And when he was born, the Bible says Enoch walked with God these next 300 years. He walked, and I believe he preached this message, judgment is coming. For Enoch in the times of Noah, that judgment was a water judgment on the earth. But friend, for you and I, as Jude here tells us, judgment is coming. And he's coming back to the second coming to deal with sin and sinners. Friend, if we haven't surrendered our life and come and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how do you do that? You come by faith. Very simple tonight. It's not complicated. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what church background you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. You just have to come by faith, trusting in the grace of God, trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And friends, if we consider this, the name Methuselah, it simply means this. There's different interpretations of it, but the general one that's accepted is this. When he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, it, what is it? The judgment shall come. Oh, could you imagine if you were the parents of Methuselah and he had a bad cough? And you know when he dies, judgment is coming. You'd be running to the doctor very quickly. But here, you'll find that Enoch started to walk with God, lived a wonderful testimony of pleasing God, preached a terrifying message that judgment is coming, and he even named his son, when he is dead, it shall come. My friend, I want to tell you tonight, as you consider all of this, there's a beautiful picture of grace. You read back in Genesis, Methuselah, you should know him, he lived the longest. He lived 969 years. Would you pause and think of that for a moment? Over in Peter's epistle, Peter says it's time the people are going to scoff and make fun of the return, the promise of Christ. As you read down 2 Peter 3, the Lord says, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day in the eyes of the Lord. He's not teaching some false evolution. You know what he's teaching? The grace of God. As he goes on down, he says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, I want you to see tonight, when Enoch walked, and when he preached and he lived the testimony, the message that he preached, God gave them grace. 969 years after the birth of his son. Can you see tonight? Even though it was a terrifying message, friend, I want to tell you tonight, the truth is, if you have not come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, I want to tell you very simply, according to the Word of God, not my opinion, according to the Word of God, that you will be condemned, cast out from the presence of God. And the Word of God says that hell isn't the end. Many think, I'll just go to hell. But hell and the grave be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Judgment is coming. Enoch, I don't know how he knew, but Enoch, according to Jude, says that judgment is coming. Oh, a man born in difficult times, a man who walked a living testimony, a man who preached a tremendous truth, or preached a terrifying message, but he was also, lastly, a man who shared a tremendous truth. We're told Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 says he was translated, or he was taken up and carried over. Oh, friend, there is a beautiful beautiful picture here this evening. Oh, judgment is coming. But you don't have to pass through it. You don't have to go through it. Enoch was even spurred there from death. Unlike all the rest of them who were born and married and gave birth to children and had their children named and lived so many years and died and died and died. Oh, friend, I believe even in the life of Enoch, there is a beautiful type or a picture of what we know as the rapture. Oh, friend, I believe our day and age is horrible and evil. I believe our world is facing great challenges, many uncertainties that lie ahead. And you look around, it just seems things are getting worse and worse. Man is getting more evil. But I want to tell you tonight, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. There's far greater evil that lies ahead. Because when the Lord comes back and takes his church away, all the great tribulation, the wrath of Jacob will come upon this earth. And you don't want to be around. Oh, you go read the book of Revelation and you'll see the horror that will take place on this earth. And that's only but a little, I believe, of the judgment that will lie ahead for all those who reject the message of God. Oh, what did we read there in Hebrews 11 and verse 6? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, friend, tonight, judgment is coming. That's the message of Enoch. But the message that we see in his testimony, his life, all you have to do is turn around whilst you're still alive. There's this little phrase that is mentioned there. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Before the Lord called him up from this earth. Friend, there's no point leaving it. You don't know when you could be called home. Doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter what day it is. Oh, people think, oh, horrible things don't happen on certain days. It's a Sunday. It's been a good day. Death comes. And death will come to us all. Just in my own family, Christmas morning, my uncle was taken home. He said, it won't happen today. It's a Sunday. It's been a nice day. It could happen. You'll be sitting here tonight and you think, oh, I'm too young. I don't have to think about death. Let me tell you, it can come up no matter what age you are. You've seen some of my children here this morning. One of my children's bodies is still in Africa. A little boy, Samuel, 1 month old. The Lord took him. I want to ask you tonight, are you walking with God? Have you a testimony that you please him? Do you know the grace of God in your life? You can never please him if you don't come by faith. And what is that faith? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sin. You took my place. You paid the price for my sin. And friend, if you don't, and you don't do it whilst you're still alive, there's coming a day when you'll stand before the Almighty Judge. Praise God, we're still in the day of grace. But judgment is coming. Don't be like the people in the day and age of Noah and Enoch, going about everything and forgetting about the judgment that was coming, that was preached about. Oh, friend, tonight, are you ready? Are you prepared? Just like the tough times that Enoch was born in, death was all around. Realize this, you will stand before God. How will you stand before him? Will it be one that you have pleased him? Or sad to say, the end of that verse 15 says, the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, God forbid you live in rebellion. Oh, tonight, walk like Enoch. Live a life of testimony like Enoch. And have the great assurance, this great truth, that perhaps even tonight, if God was to call, you could be caught up to go home with him. Do you have that assurance tonight? Or are you just going around your everyday duties? There's coming a day of judgment. My prayer tonight, don't be caught out. Amen. We're going to close our service with a